Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Well, I am thrilled today to welcome one of my favorite artists of all time, Marc-André Hamelin, pianist Mark. Delight to talk to you today.
Oh, shucks. Thank you very much.
I knocked your socks off with that one, but I really believe that you are such an outstanding artist, and I'm so thrilled that you're recording, well, you have several new recordings out, and we're going to speak about them today and about your career and what you're doing. You've been on tour, have you, in the last year or so?
Oh, certainly, yes. I toured Australia in September and Europe in November, and I've also done, of course, a few concerts, more than a few concerts in North America, in Canada and in the States. So it's been a full fall season, certainly.
Well, I guess what I have always been a little bit, I don't want to say irritated, but I was upset when I would always read about you doing unknown works that were so devilishly difficult that no one else could play them, which you do. But I think what is exciting about your new releases is that they are, well, we have an album of Chopin, an album of Haydn piano sonatas, and then you have your quintet album with the Takash Quartet that you are playing music of Schumann. So can we discuss a little bit about everything there?
Well, certainly. Well, first of all, I should say that it's always been my thought that to me, the repertoire of the piano is just one entity. I personally don't distinguish between standard and non-standard. I mean, to me, it's really all the same, because I believe that a lot of lesser known repertoire really deserves more of a chance and could be just as appreciated as things that we know better. And it's often just a matter of circumstance as to why these works were not exposed as much as what we know better.
Well, do you think it has to do with the difficulty?
In some cases, yes, but it's not always the case. I mean, some of the works that I've recorded, which people don't know very well, are really not that difficult. You know, but for some reason, I mean, it could be just the lack of availability of the printed music, or the fact that there haven't been a lot of recordings, or various things, or maybe not a lot of successful recordings. I mean, all these factors can come into play. So I try to do whatever I can, you know, and either works or doesn't.
Now you,
but I'm happy to say that I seem to have gained some kind of trust from the public. So that's the only thing that I can go on.
Well, you certainly deserve it, because again, many of the recordings that we have here at the station are extremely difficult. They are rather.
Well, I hope not too difficult to listen to.
No, they're wonderful, because we have such a wonderful recording of them by you.
Well, but, you know, the fact that they're difficult also for me to play doesn't enter into it. I mean, I don't wish to draw attention to what my task was. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm interested in is for people to be able to appreciate them. So I do whatever I can to present the music just as it should be. And the fact that the repertoire is difficult is just my business and shouldn't be anyone else's.
Well, I think it's a lot of probably envious pianist business, because really that you do have a reputation for your having outstanding technique. And again, I won't dwell on it anymore, but I would love to talk a little bit more about your releases. Now, you have the Haydn piano sonatas that you've done. You are a Hipparion recording artist. Can we talk a little bit about how you decided to do that?
Well, I've always loved Haydn. I mean, I used to play always the same, maybe three or four sonatas, and I really hadn't delved into his output. And when I started, I was just in awe. You know, I went to one wonder after another. I mean, it's all really interesting. I mean, there is such a lot of richness there. The character of these pieces. I mean, there's always some kind of surprise. There's a lot of angularity, which I really relish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great sense of theater, of confounding expectations, listeners' expectations is what I'm saying, and a great melodic gift, a very sure architectural sense, I mean, he knows absolutely and completely what he's doing. He was really a powerhouse mind in all respects. And instrumentally, just very, very grateful.
Did he
and
have
a delight, a joy, and in some cases maybe a challenge for the interpreter, but always extremely fulfilling.
A challenge on what level?
Well, in order to get the pieces across, and sometimes maybe it's not so easy musically, but he offers just a wonderful opportunity for interpreters to sort of do everything they can, you know, to make the music alive. It's wonderful. It just feels great, you know, to play this music, and I can't get enough of it. The release that we're referring to actually is the second set of Haydn sonatas that I've released for Hyperion. The first one was a two CD set. This one is also a two CD set, and I have a green light by Hyperion for a third set, which will come out in maybe 1 or 2 years' time.
How many did he write in total?
Well, that's disputed. I mean, there's 52 numbered ones.
Hmm.
Some of them actually were written for student use, so they're really more for pedagogical purposes, mm-hmm. and the musical value is perhaps not as great as some of the others, but there are so many of them that are worthy of performance.
Did you think he had a sense of humor?
Oh, he's a Pope Catholic. he was perhaps the most delightfully humorous
yes.
of any composer who ever lived. You know, it's that's another reason why we delight in performing him.
I figured you would, because I always think of Haydn with he's got a twinkle in his eye somewhere, and he's got something going on that he wants to surprise us with.
I've only met one pianist so far, a very great pianist who I will not name, who told me in all frankness that he really did not identify with Haydn's humor, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, he is much more well known as a Beethoven player, and a wonderful Beethoven player he is. But sometimes, you know, we respond a little less to things like that. But I can assure you that I feel totally in tune with it.
Now, this is already on the street, your Haydn Piano Sonatas number 2. Is that the newest release that you have?
No, actually, the Schumann Quintet with the Takacs Quartet is the most recent one, but that's very, very fresh. I do believe it is in stores, you know, but I think maybe word hasn't spread out yet.
Well, it will. I'm certainly sure that people are awaiting any new album that you do. Now, the Chopin that I have, I would like you to talk a little bit about Chopin and how you feel about Chopin and his pianistic challenges as well.
Well, what can one say about Chopin? I mean, essential to all pianists, we couldn't do without him. And if you look at the bulk of his production, I mean, it is so remarkably even and almost consistently rich in just about everything. The melodic content, the invention, the astonishing range of invention, and the many moods and conflicting moods mm-hmm. and layers of meaning that he was able to pack into everything he did. It's just something that's astonishing.
And very, very.
I think I'm describing this very inadequately, you know, because how can one talk about something that one's known all one's life?
Well, how do you identify? I mean, Chopin, it's romantic. Chopin's works are romantic. They're challenging, certainly technically, but very, very appealing. You have 2 piano sonatas on that album, which are they rarely played?
The idea for the CD really stemmed because of my really very happy experience with the third sonata, the one in B minor, opus 58. And I really wanted to issue a CD that would be around it. And I simply chose other works which I really felt I identified with. And one of them is the other sonata, the so-called Funeral March one.
Yes.
And I wanted to include a couple of the nocturnes as well, and the Bessers, and also the Barcarolle, which I think is perhaps one of the two greatest things he ever wrote, along with the Polonaise Fantaisie.
Well, why the Barcarolle? What makes it great?
What it evokes, the layers of wonderfulness. Again, I don't think my English is really adequate. Remember, it's not my native language.
I think you're actually saying it perfectly. Now, that brings something up. You are French-Canadian, is that right,
yes.
Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have gotten some very, very lovely honors, kind of in the same, I guess it's the same category as the Légion d'honneur, only for Canada, is that right?
I suppose so. I think it's some kind of knighthood, the Order of Canada. Which is tremendously uplifting and inspiring.
It's absolutely wonderful. When were you awarded that?
It was in 2003.
I see. Now, has that changed you in any way?
Well, it gives you that kind of thing. Always gives you some kind of a backbone. I mean, it's something to fall on psychologically in times of doubt and need, I think. Because you know that you have been recognized, and that it gives you tremendous confidence.
With regard to the way you're regarded in Canada, they had a the art of Marc-André Hamelin, the Pro Musica Society of Montreal, said a week of concerts featuring you in chamber and solo. And
yes, they were celebrating their 60th anniversary, and I was very honored that they chose me for this week of concerts. I mean, they basically gave me carte blanche, and they said, organize whatever you want. So I played with people I particularly cared about, and there we go.
That must have been fun then.
Now
I have another thing. Marc-André Hamelin in a State of Jazz. Oh, this is an amazing, amazing album. What made you do that?
I think my desire initially was to there were two reasons. One of them was to record the Sonata in a State of Jazz by Alexis Weissenberg, which really gave the album its title.
Uh-huh.
Now we know him only as a pianist, but
yes.
The fact is that he recorded. He wrote a number of things, which I think everything that he wrote that I know of, that I'm aware of, was in the popular vein. He even wrote a musical, would you believe? And
how interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything that he wrote that, at least I'm aware of, which was in the more classical vein. I mean, it's all popular music. And he never recorded any of that, unfortunately. But he wrote the sonata in 1982, which is really absolutely wild and woolly. I mean, the four movements are based on, respectively, a tango, Charleston, blues, and a samba. And it's absolutely, pianistically, it's a real crusher. I mean, I've never felt completely at ease playing it, but at the same time, it was wonderful introducing it to audiences. And the second reason I did the album was that way back in 1998, I was introduced to the music of Nikolai Kapustin, who is a Russian composer, a contemporary composer, but who writes exclusively in a jazz style.
Hmm.
There's no improvisation in his works. It's all written out. And when I discovered him through his second piano sonata, my jaw dropped. And I thought, oh, my God, I mean, I have to get to know mm-hmm. this. And unfortunately, I was informed by Hyperion that one of my colleagues, Stephen Osborne, was doing a Kapustin CD for them, including the second sonata, so I couldn't record it. So we waited a little bit, and then I guess enough time had elapsed so that I could include this this second sonata in this new CD. So those are really the two centerpieces of the album. But it also includes other things. You know,
well,
for example, the music of Friedrich Gulda, who is also known to us as one of the great pianists of the century from Vienna, but who also had a very, very intense interest in jazz.
Isn't that interesting? There are pianists that have obviously felt a pull towards jazz, and they are classical pianists. Very, very interesting. Very
but
interesting.
Very, very few.
Very few. But and you're oh, yes. you're and you're probably ennobling them by recording the music. But we I was delighted to see that. The other very nice thing was that you recently received a Lifetime Achievement Prize by the German Record Critics Award. That was something very
That made
rare.
Me extremely happy.
Well, I think hopefully we will be hearing more from you, certainly as a soloist.
Well, certainly. I mean, things are really, really going well. I would say maybe almost exponentially.
Isn't that wonderful? And you sound very happy, and you're finally fulfilling, I guess, a lot of musical dreams that you had been planning.
Oh, very, very much so. I have two very interesting recording projects that will come out next year. One of them, actually, is already in the can. I recorded it last month, and it is entirely my own music. I recently completed a set of 12 etudes in all the minor keys, and Hyperion very graciously let me record it. And the music will also be published, and it'll come out at the same time. It'll be published by C.F. Peters in New York. Unfortunately, both of these things are only going to come out in November of 2010, because the book will take a long time to produce. But I'm very, very happy about that. And also, this March, I will be recording the Max Reger Piano Concerto and the Strauss Burlesque with the Burlesque Radio Orchestra, and that'll come out on Hyperion as well.
That's wonderful news. And then you will, of course, be playing in recital here.
Yes. Oh, God.
When is this?
That so
next
much.
Week, is it?
Yes.
Well, Mark, it's just a joy to speak with you. I hope that we can do this again. There is so much to talk about with you. As I said, you are an outstanding artist and so erudite. Just generally, and I know you're blushing because that's what you do when people give you compliments, but I'm so excited that we will be seeing you and that things are going so very well for you, and promise me that you will come back again and we'll be able to do another crossover with you.
I solemnly promise.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.